Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, welcome back everyone to the channel. Tonight's terrifying story is about this urban explorer who goes somewhere where he shouldn't go. Ventured where no man should venture. Things seen that should not be seen. This happened to me when I was younger. Me and my buddy snuck into this unofficial building that had no name, no nothing, thinking it was the secret headquarters of the masked mutant from Goosebumps. If you know, you know. So, I'm gonna enjoy this coffee. And if you like coffee, let me know down in the comments below. I have coffee every single morning, except on the weekends. Sometimes I don't. And my go-to coffee is the Café Bustelo. It's a Cuban coffee that's delicious. And I drink it black because I'm a tough guy. No, seriously, I drink it black because when I put cream and sugar into this Cuban coffee, it doesn't taste as good. It actually tastes better black. Which is weird because usually when I would buy Folgers or other brands, I would have to put cream and sugar in it. But not these guys. You know who else likes Cuban coffee? Imaya, Alegua, Obatala, Ogun, Oya, Imaya, Shango. There's the name a few there. So if you haven't tried this coffee, check it out. And no, it is not sponsored. I'm just telling you, it's a good coffee. Enjoy tonight's story. I'm not looking for advice or sympathy. I just want to know if this sounds like something a person's brain can go through and still work afterward. I already did the boring rational checklist. Gas leak, mold, not enough sleep, too much stress, memory screw-ups. I actually wrote them all out in a notes app and tried to make each one fit. None of them explained what I remember. None of them explain what's missing now. I remember what I saw. I remember what I heard. And I remember a person who was right next to me for hours. You could say I'm misreading it. Fine. Just don't tell me it was all in my head. It started with a screenshot. My friend Liam dropped into our group chat around 2 in the morning. It was low res, all blocky pixels, concrete hallway, green paint on the walls, doors down both sides. The doors didn't have handles. Above each one, there was a black number stenciled onto the wall. Under the screenshot, someone had written, South Annex, Building D. Stairs go down 3 more floors than the blueprints say. Do not go past the second landing. You'll know why. The username in the screenshot was blurred out. The image came from some dead Urbix forum. When I tried to find the original thread, every link I clicked led to a broken archive page or a scraped copy missing half the posts. I never found where that caption was first posted. This is exactly Liam's thing. He spends weekends in abandoned hospitals and parking structures and service tunnels. If a place is empty, off limits, and smells old, he wants to walk around in it. I'm usually the one warning him about trespassing and rotten floors and security cameras. That night, I didn't say no. I told myself it was because the place was close. About a 45-minute drive from town, just off the highway, near an industrial park that never filled properly. Most of the buildings out there turned into storage or stayed for lease until the banners faded. Liam did his usual digging beforehand. "Used to be a research lab," he said in the car. He was in the passenger seat scrolling. I was driving. "Spinoff from a defense contractor. It closed sometime in the 80s. Official paperwork says materials testing. Old post says human factors. Sleep trials, sensory stuff, that kind of thing." I kept my attention on the road. Old posts where? "Forum nobody moderates anymore," he said. "Half the threads are bots. Screenshots look like they were taken on a potato. That's how you know it's good." He sounded relaxed. Too relaxed, honestly. The sky was just a flat gray slab that day. When we pulled into the industrial park, the whole place felt wrong in a way I didn't have a neat word for. Big rectangles of concrete and brick, too many parking spaces, not enough people or vehicles. It looked like the trail end of a half-built future. Building D didn't have a nameplate. Just a two-story brick block with dark windows and a sagging chain-link fence around the front. A rusted padlock hung on the gate. The link right next to it had been cut, and somebody had looped the loose chain back through the lock so it looked sealed at a glance. Liam saw that and smiled. When he looked over and saw my face, the smile faded a little. "We could still bail," he said. "Walk the outside, peek in, get food. No big deal." "Let's at least see the first floor," I heard myself say. That answer didn't match how I actually felt. Inside, the air felt dead. No draft, no movement. Dust laid on every surface. The lobby looked like generic late 70s office space. Square tan tiles, glass doors and metal frames, a long front desk with an old CRT monitor sitting dark on top. There was a black spray-painted smiley face on one wall. Nothing else. No tags. We went through a door behind the front desk and stepped into a corridor. Most of the rooms off it had been stripped. Ceiling grids open, tiles missing, wires hanging down. The carpet was stained in big, irregular patches. A couple of those stains still had darker edges that looked too fresh for a place that had been empty for decades. "Do you smell that?" Liam asked. Under the dust, there was a sharp metallic scent and something chemical that didn't match mildew or old building smell. "This is probably where they did the tests," he said, leaning into a room that had a one-way mirror built into the far wall. "Observers on one end, subjects on the other." "Great," I said. "So, South Annex?" He checked his phone again. "If the blueprint I found is right, the annex should be that way." He pointed deeper into the building. We kept going. Some of the doors had room numbers stenciled above the frame. 112, 114, 116, then a jump to 120. then 126. Then one door with no number at all. The next one after that had 118, which didn't line up with the sequence at all. I decided they must have remodeled the floor at some point and changed the layout without updating everything. At the end of the corridor was a plain metal door with an exit sign above it. The plastic on the sign was faded. The light inside it was off. Liam pushed the door open. The hallway from the screenshot was on the other side. Concrete floor with a narrow strip of worn material down the center. Green painted walls. Doors on both sides spaced exactly the same distance apart. Above each door, a black number. All of them were zero. First door, zero. Second door, zero. Third door, zero. Our footsteps landed on the floor and stopped. No echo. "This is it," I said. Liam stepped up close to one of the zeros. "They painted over the real numbers," he said. "Look close."
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Save big money at Menards and stock up on your favorite Procter & Gamble products. We carry quality products from brands you can trust, like Dawn, Tide, Bounty, and more. Keep your home clean and stocked with essentials like paper towels, toilet paper, dish soap, and more. Save big money on Procter & Gamble products now through February 8th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
He was right. Up close, you could see faint outlines under the zeros. Shapes like 101, 103, 105, just a little off-center. The new black zeros sat on top of them. At the far end of the hallway, another exit sign glowed red. "There's no power in this building," I said. "We didn't see any other lights on." "Emergency line," he said. "Separate wing. Or some old battery that should have been dead years ago and isn't." His voice didn't carry the way it should have. It seemed to just stop a few feet away. Halfway down the hall, I noticed I was breathing harder. The air felt heavier in my chest. Not warmer, just dense. We stopped at one of the doors with a zero above it. No handle, no lock, no hinges on our side. Just a door with a narrow vertical slot at eye level. Liam bent forward to look through the slot.
"Don't," I said.
He stayed there.
"It's just black," he said. "Can't see anything."
He turned on his phone flashlight and angled it to beam at the slot. The light hit the opening and didn't go anywhere beyond it. No reflection, no faint surface, nothing. Just the beam cutting off. Liam's face tightened.
"Yeah, that's not how this should work," he muttered.
A sound came from further down the hall. Something dragging, dry, slow. We both froze.
Probably a raccoon, he said. It didn't sound like he believed it. The sound came again. Same volume, same distance. There was no echo, no way to tell direction. The hallway may as well just absorbed it in place. Let's just find the stairs, I said. We'll see them, then we leave, that's it. He hesitated and nodded once. Okay, stairs, then gone. We moved on. The exit sign at the end of the hall didn't seem to get closer. My body said we were walking. My eyes said we were staying in the same spot. I checked my watch. We walked for about a minute and the sign looked exactly the same. Wait, I said. This? The exit sign flicked off. When it came back on, it was right above the door in front of us. We hadn't crossed that distance. Liam let out a short, shaky laugh.
All right, he said. That's something. Old construction messing with perspective?
That dragging noise came again. One drawn-out pull and then a single, clear tap on the floor. I'm done, I said. Stairs, then out. I mean it this time. He opened the door. The stairwell looked ordinary at first glance. Square landings, concrete steps, metal railings. Black stenciled numbers on the walls at each landing. The level we were on had a 1. One flight down was marked 0. Another flight down was marked -1. The first -1 we saw had a line scratched through it, like someone had dug a key or a nail across it. There was no stairs going higher than 1. No roof door.
You read the caption, Liam said. Stairs go lower than they should. Don't go past the second landing. That's the warning.
He put his hand on the rail.
Second landing and we're out, he said. For real, I just want to see how far it goes.
You always say that, I said.
Yeah, and sometimes I mean it, he said.
We started down. The air grew colder with each flight. By the time we had reached the landing with 0, my fingers were numb on the rail. There was a door there, metal, blank, no window. Leave it alone, I said. He did, which surprised me. One more, he said. We hit -1, confirm the pattern, then we're done. The next landing down had -1 on the wall again. This stencil didn't have a scratch through it. The door had a black 0 above it, just like the hallway doors. We saw it. That's the second landing. Your little rule is met. Time to go back up. The stairwell lights shut off. It wasn't dramatic. No popping glass. Just a tiny electrical noise. And then there was only our flashlights. His phone beam and my headlamp made 2 small islands of light. Beyond those, nothing. Tell me that was a timer, I said. Please say there's some stupid motion sensor.
That wasn't me, he said,
and I believed him. Something moved below us. Not footsteps, not an animal noise I recognized. It was a slow, steady shift like a heavy coil of something being rearranged. Liam aimed his light downward. We didn't see the familiar pattern of stairs fading into a darker distance. The light hit a gray space that refused to show depth or shape. My eyes started to sting again. We're going now, I said. Up. He nodded. We climbed.
we went up one full flight. The landing number said -1. He stopped.
No, he said. That's not right.
We started at 1, I said. Then 0, then -1. We came down to this one. We just went up 1. This should be 0. It's not...
As we looked at it, the number changed. The paint didn't smear. The wall didn't shift. It was the same marks. My brain just suddenly read them as -1 again instead of 0. No transition, just a new fact. Liam's breathing went uneven.
We misread it before, he said quickly. It's fine. We're just panicking, that's all.
He climbed 3 more steps. There was no landing up there. The stairs continued in the same downward direction in front of him. When he turned and looked behind, those also went down. The landing we thought we were leaving didn't exist on either side. He stared at me.
Stop moving, I said. Stay right where you are.
We stood in that same section of stairwell for several seconds. A new sound started. Short, hard taps. Not random. In groups.
Tap, tap, tap. Pause. Tap. Longer pause. Tap, tap.
It took me a few cycles to notice it matched my breathing. Every time I inhaled, there was a quick cluster. When I held my breath, it stopped. When I exhaled, it picked back up a moment later.
Do you hear that? I asked.
Liam didn't answer. He was staring at the wall where the -1 was painted. New marks had appeared above the number. Then vertical strokes grouped together. Tallies. 2 groups. A narrow gap under the second group where one more line could fit. He reached out and pressed his fingers against the blank space under that gap. Gray dust stuck to his skin.
Stop touching that, I snapped. Seriously, don't do that.
It's a count, he said. There's one missing.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
He wiped his fingers on his shirt. The gray didn't fully rub off. You could still see it on his skin. I needed something that was ours, something I could verify. I pulled a black Sharpie out of my pocket. Same one I'd used that morning for paperwork. I went to the nearest clear bit of wall and drew a thick arrow pointing towards the direction I still believed was up. If we see this again, we know we are looped, I said. No more guessing, no more trusting our sense of direction. If we pass this arrow twice, we stop and figure it out. He gave me a small, tight nod. We started climbing again. I kept my hand on the rail the whole time. The tapping kept matching our breathing. It didn't grow louder, softer, just adjusted as we did. We passed another landing. The stencil here read, -2. My thighs burned. My chest hurt. The air stayed thin and cold. The arrow never reappeared. After several more flights, my legs started to shake so badly I couldn't trust my footing. "I need a second," I said. "Just 1 second." Liam stopped above me. The wall at this landing had changed again. The tallies above the numbers now had no gap. The missing line was there.
"There," he said quietly. "Now it's all there."
His voice broke on the last word. "All."
"What?"
I asked. He looked down at me like he was trying to line up my face with something in his head. "Ever feel like a place is keeping track of you?" he said. "Not just visitors, you personally."
I didn't answer. The tapping stopped.
Silence in that stairwell wasn't clean. Under it, a slow, steady rasp came in. It sounded like air being moved through a long, narrow space. It didn't come from above or below. It came from the walls. My teeth hurt. My fingers cramped around the rail. My body moved before I finished thinking about it. I grabbed his wrist again and ran. I honestly couldn't tell you which way we went. Up, down, sideways. None of it meant anything. My feet kept hitting concrete, landings flashing past. -3, blank, another, -1, a 0 in the wrong place, numbers that didn't connect to each other. The rasping noise stayed at the same volume the whole time, no matter how fast or slow we moved. At one landing, my heel sank just enough into the surface to feel it. The concrete gave under my weight briefly and then firmed again. The wall beside it pushed inward once, then relaxed.
"Don't stop," I said. "Just keep going."
We didn't. Eventually, a different kind of light showed up above us. Pale gray daylight seeping through a doorway at the top of yet another run. Not the harsh stairwell bulbs, real outside light.
"There," I said. "That's gotta be the way out."
We sprinted. One last landing with no number. A door hanging open. A short corridor. Broken safety glass and window frames. Grass and cracked asphalt beyond. We went through and out. The outside air hit hard. Real wind, real street noise, real world. My knees gave out and I ended up on the pavement, leaning on my hands, breathing like I had just finished a sprint. For a while there was only that. Our breathing, distant cars, wind. Then I realized I only heard myself. I turned. Liam was still standing in the doorway. He was half in shadow, one hand braced on the frame, the other hanging at his side. His body faced me. His feet were still partly on the indoor flooring.
"Come on," I said. "We're out. Get over here."
He tilted his head a few degrees, slow, controlled. His fingers flexed once and then went still again. The hair on my arms stood up.
"Liam,"
I said. He stepped out. His body moved the way a body is supposed to move, but the timing was off. His joints seemed to catch and then continue. No casual shift of weight, no little adjustments you don't usually notice. Every step was deliberate. He stopped in front of me. Up close, his face looked washed out, pupils wide. His eyes were locked on mine and didn't flick around to anything else. Then he smiled. His smile had always been a little crooked on one side. This one wasn't. Both corners of his mouth went up at the same amount. I felt my stomach drop. "You okay?" I asked. The words came out too loud. He blinked once. The blink lasted a fraction longer than normal.
"We made it out," he said.
The words were right. The pronunciation was right. The spacing between the words was just slightly wrong, like he was repeating a line he had practiced. Behind him, the stairwell door swung towards the frame on its own. It didn't latch. It just moved until it was almost touching and then stopped. Near the hem of his shirt, I saw a tiny strip of white. It sat flush under the fabric. Not lint, not dust. A thin band pressed against his skin, the way a hospital wristband hides under a sleeve. Without thinking, I reached towards it. He jerked back so fast it didn't look natural.
"Don't," he said.
That single word sounded completely normal.
We stood there just looking at each other.
"Okay," I said finally. "I won't. Let's just get home." On the way back, he didn't touch his phone. No music, no scrolling, no complaining about my driving. He stared out the passenger window the whole ride. At one red light, I glanced down at his hands. The same faint gray dust clung around his fingers. It hadn't rubbed off. When we pulled up outside his building, he turned towards me.
"You should delete the photos," he said.
"We didn't take any," I said. He looked at me for a second, then nodded slowly.
"Right," he said.
"Good." He got out and went inside. I stayed in the car for a while with my hands still on the steering wheel and the engine off, just staring at the windshield. It felt like a scene was missing somewhere between the stairwell and dropping him off. When I finally went inside my own place, I locked the door, checked the deadbolt twice, then took a shower until the hot water ran out. I still couldn't shake the feeling of the stairwell air sitting in my lungs. I didn't sleep that night. The second night, I laid in bed with the lights on, watching the ceiling. By the third night, I gave in and tried to call him. The call didn't ring. An automated voice said the number wasn't in service. I texted him anyway. The message failed instantly. I opened our group chat. All the old messages were still there. The memes, the photos, the plans, everything. At the top, where his name should have been, there was just a gray unknown. No profile picture, no contact info. I checked my phone's contact list. There was an entry sitting there with no name and no number. Every time I tried to edit it, the app spun and then flipped me back to the list. I checked social media. No profile, no posts, no old photos. Comments had clearly written to himself were still there, but now they looked like one-sided arguments with nobody.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use.
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I called our friend, Jenna.
Hey, I said. Stupid question. When's the last time you talked to Liam?
Who?
She asked.
Liam, I said. Tall, dark hair. He came with us to the flea market in July. You bought that ugly lamp. He kept roasting you for it.
I went with you,
she said slowly.
There wasn't a third person.
I hung up.
I know how exactly that sounds reading it back. I sat on the couch, staring at my phone, trying to rearrange names and faces in my head. Nothing lined up. Then, I heard something at my front door. A soft scrape across the floor, like something thin sliding under the gap. No knock, no footsteps. I watched the bottom of the door for a while, then forced myself to get up. The hallway outside was empty. No one at the elevator. No doors closing. Just the usual building hum. On the floor inside my door was a narrow strip of plastic. It was the size of an old label. The surface was off-white and a little glossy. The edges curled up slightly. One side felt faintly sticky, as if it had already gone on and off a few things. I picked it up. One side had tallies on it, drawn in neat, thin black lines. 5 lines, a small gap, 5 more, and so on. At the end of the last group of ink had dragged a little. Underneath the tallies, in very small block letters, was a name. Liam. The lines of the letters were clean, with a bit of bleed into the plastic. I turned it over. The other side was a symbol. 3 short horizontal lines stacked up equally spacing, a single vertical line going straight down through all 3. The ink was dark and solid. It didn't match any logo or alphabet I recognized, but it looked deliberate. Staring at it gave me that same pressure in my head that I had felt in that stairwell when the numbers shifted meaning. Below the symbol, the rest of the space was crowded with very small marks. Too tight to make out, clearly. My eyes kept trying to turn them into letters and failing. At the bottom, in less steady hands, was a short sentence. You were supposed to see. The T in 2 had a faint extra line starting in the wrong direction. My hand shook enough that I almost dropped the strip. I opened the door again. The hallway was still empty. I shut the door, locked it, then locked it again, even though I knew it didn't do anything extra. I sat down with my back against it and put the label on the coffee table where I could see it. I know the normal checklist of what I'm supposed to do. Burn it, throw it away, call the cops and sound insane. Book a therapist. Ask a doctor if I'm having a break with reality. Hand the label to somebody else and see if they can feel anything just staring at it. I haven't done any of that. The label is on the top drawer in my nightstand. Every time I think about taking it out and getting rid of it, I hear that old tapping pattern in my head, matching my breathing, and I close the drawer again. I haven't gone back to Building D. I pulled it up on satellite imagery instead. The industrial park is there. The footage of Building D is there. The section where the South Annex should be is just a little smear on every set of images, like the file glitched. One afternoon, I got in the car and started driving towards the highway exit that would take me there. As I approached it, my hands locked on the wheel. My chest tightened. I couldn't move my foot to hit the turn signal.
I took the next exit at a gas station, parked, and sat there until it was dark, then drove home using a different route. I think about the tallies on that stairwell wall all the time. Two groups, a gap, one missing, later, no gap, everything filled. Whatever that place is, it was tracking something. It knew there was an empty line. It let me walk out anyways. And I don't know why. Maybe I needed someone to remember its layout. Maybe this is how it stays open, by sitting in the back of someone's mind and then getting written down like this. Maybe the label is just its way of marking that I still belong on that account. I'm not writing this because I think it's a cool story. I'm writing it because I can't stop counting now. Breaths, steps in the hallway, heater clicks, the little green flash from my router. Whenever anything repeats, my brain tracks it automatically. I keep waiting for something external to line up perfectly with it. Sometimes around 3 in the morning, I wake up with my hand clenched like I'm holding a cold rail. My arm muscles feel tired. My lungs feel like they've been working harder than they should have for somebody lying down. For a few seconds, my bedroom feels thin, and the memory of those stairs feels solid. On nights when the building is quiet and there's no traffic outside and the heater stops, I hear something else in the background of my thoughts. Not tapping, not scraping. Just a calm, steady sense of something keeping count, floor by floor, and never running out of numbers to say.